What's happening, everybody? Glad to see you again. Or glad to know that you're there again. Somewhat. You are listening to, or if you're watching, you are a part of probably, as it stands right now, the last episode in this room, in this studio. We're going to have a new studio soon. Things are going to look completely different. I'm going to be moving to a studio apartment, which means the whole apartment will be this, pretty much, you know? It's just going to be set up very different. It's going to be downsized. We're probably going to be holding the microphones, which is going to be an interesting new thing. There's going to be no arms, there's going to be no table, not a table like this at least, not a big-ass table like this. I got no room for it. All these swivelly chairs, they're going to get sold, probably. What else? The tripods are going to be much smaller. I'm still going to have video, but the tripods are going to be smaller. I might have to get longer HDMI wires so I can still connect them to my camera switcher. What else? I might have to shorten the wires that are on the actual microphones. So a lot of things are changing, guys, and it's going to be fun. And by now, as you are listening to this, I am in Connecticut living like a motherfucker. Just at the moment, I'm in hyperdrive. I'm trying to get a whole bunch of shit done, trying to tie up a bunch of loose ends. I want to have episodes for you guys while I'm still figuring out the studio. I would like to have one more. We'll see. We'll see what happens. I mean, we got to 185 in this studio. I don't know how far I got in the old basement, but it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun to see a new spot. It's going to be fun to see the progression. I'm happy you guys are here to witness it. And it's cool. You guys remember when I first moved into here and I spoke so highly about it. And it's going to be great in the new place. The new place has a lot of big windows, so that'll be nice. And it's just going to be downsized. It's going to be the same show, motherfuckers. It's going to be the same show. I do plenty of Zoom episodes with professors and whatnot. And yes, I am moving to a new place. I don't know a ton of people, but I'll meet them. I'll meet them, and hopefully I have plenty of new people on, some of the old people. I'm not moving that far away from Providence. So, and I'm going to meet some comedians, some new comedians, definitely, and which is what I wanted to get into mainly. I haven't spoken to you guys in a while about the technical side of things because most of you motherfuckers don't give a shit, I assume the worst, you know? I assume that you motherfucker, you don't care. But maybe you do. Maybe you do, man. I'm not giving you enough credit. Either way, I haven't done it in a while, so I figured, let me let these motherfuckers know what's happening. But anyway, comedy. I am incredibly excited to get back knee-deep into comedy. You know, 3-4 times a week, doing open mics, working on material, really living like a comic. And actually, soon, I'm going to be doing the goals, the first quarter goals wrap up, right? At the end of that April 1st, right? So that'll be a fun time because I haven't even looked at those motherfuckers, if I'm being honest. I'm being honest. You guys know I'm honest. A lot of shit's happened in these first 3 months of this year. So, and my mind has been taking off a lot of shit. But what stood strong was comedy. I have been really working on the craft because it means a lot to me, you know. I mean, making sure that I'm good, making sure that I'm solid, and practicing how you fight. Right, a lot of guys say spar how you fight. I mean, you're going to give each other brain damage, but train how you fight. You know, do the intense shit like how you would fight, so you don't develop bad habits. That's why I try my best not to look at my list of jokes and whatever else when I'm on stage. Doesn't mean it's a bad thing. Fucking national headliners do that shit. Mark Norman's on stage with a notepad. I'm not knocking anybody, and I'm sure at one point I'll do it. I'm sure I'll get past this way of thinking, but at the moment, I'm just focusing on getting better. And that's key in anything that you do that's brand new. Or maybe not even brand new, just something that you want to get better at. You got to do it on a consistent basis. And this whole moving process has taken up my month of March, more or less. You know, I did the show at the Comedy Connection, and I did the show at Comics Roadhouse. Those were in March, and I did a bunch of open mics to prepare for those. But since the show at the Comedy Connection, I've done one open mic because I've been just scrambling, you know, just trying to get things all settled. But right here, I have a list of a bunch of open mics that I can go to. I'm not going to be super far from the city, from New York. You know, it's going to be a 2.5 hour commute rather than a 3.5-4 hour commute from Providence. So it's nice. It'll be good. And I'm excited to get back like hard body at it, because when you take a hiatus, you can sometimes get used to it. And you don't want that shit, especially if it's something you care about. So that's fun. But comedy, I have recently, I feel like I've spoken about it on here, but as you guys know, I am a fan of copying. I love watching the best, and I love taking from them and implementing it in my own game, finding what works, finding what doesn't. And this month was a pretty big month for me in comedy, because I realized that there's certain levels of mastery. Because I've been watching a lot of it. I've been taking notes. I got my little notepad here. I've been taking note with my fucking bike thing, whatever. But I've been taking notes on performance, on speech, on, you know, how these guys set up punchlines and whatever. And I've been trying. And what I'm finding is there's certain people that have certain levels of mastery. And I shouldn't say levels, but kinds, right? Like, for example, when I watch a guy like Norm Macdonald, who is just effortlessly funny, I want to emulate his effortlessness. The fact that he is just so nonchalant. Like, he's just so, just exudes comedy. But when I experiment with that stuff, you see that there's certain jokes you can't do that with. Like, his whole persona, he was able to get away with it because that's his thing. But what I'm finding is that if you're going to tell a joke that's really, like, you it's harsh material, and you want to hit people in their core, you got to say it with a nutsack. You know, I spoke a little bit about this with Pesky and Ski last Thursday. If you guys listen to that phenomenal mockery of an episode. Mockery is not a negative connotation, but I think it's good. It was, I found that when I went to Mohegan, I tried to be very stationary on the stage, because that's another level of mastery. A guy like Tom Papa, who can just stand there, tell his jokes, doesn't need to be doesn't need to be crazy animated, doesn't need to pace back and forth. He stands there with the microphone in fucking on the stand and just talks, leans it back, leans it forward. To me, there's a level of mastery there that I attempted and it didn't work. It looked weird. There's a thing with live performance that it also needs to kind of, there's like an aesthetic to it, right? Part of the style is how you keep yourself up there, how you have certain mannerisms. That's what makes shit funny sometimes. Just the way someone does something. Like when George Carlin is pacing back and forth, doing his fucking, you know, and he's with his arms. And then you see Bill Hicks crouching down, right, getting right in people's faces, looking them in the eyes. Like, that is mastery. Even to Mitch Hedberg, looking down, nervous. And then you got Pablo Francisco, run like one of the most animated people. Cat Williams. These guys are insane with what they do physically on stage. But there are some guys that are just tight writing, very tight writing, and they don't have to do much. They just stand there and they tell their jokes and they're able to do it, and they're able to connect with the crowd, which is a huge thing. And while I was doing it, it felt like there was a bottled up sense of something. You know, I was kind of standing there and it looked weird. I was leaning like side to side with the microphone on the stand. Like, it wasn't, it looked like I wanted to move. After I watched it, I was like, all right, I need to do that bit, because it was a tough bit, like a tough bit in the sense of like hard shit I'm talking about, whatever. The shit that lasts though, right? Those are the jokes that stand over time. Not trying to suck my own dick here, but some of that subject material, when you hear a comic talk about real life shit, whether it be about themselves, whether it be about society, hypocrisy, the things that we do as humans, that shit lasts regardless of how venomous it is or how playful it is. It lasts, right? Carlin could be, I always refer to Carlin, but he had the joke about the bread. Why do we get to the good bread? Like, that's a harmless joke, but we all do that. right? And that's something that'll last. And then you have the controversial shit. You got a Doug Stanhope, who I've been watching a lot of, and Jesus, what an interesting style. What an interesting style. He is able to have an abundance of words and have pockets, like long pockets where there's no laughter. It's just him talking and keeping people on edge with his diction and how he is like, like that's kind of how his words come out. It's very like blotchy, but it's almost like lulling you to sleep and then bang, drops that right hand in there. And it is a solid KO punch. When a motherfucker like Doug Stanhope comes, like his special just dropped. It's called The Dying of a Last Breed. Great name. Great fucking name. Because he is one of the last of the Mohegans of guys that just ruthlessly, their whole act is just to ruthlessly attack society. And that not only the hypocrisy, but the nuances, things that people do get upset about, but are small and stupid, like waiting in line behind somebody in a grocery store. That's, you know, things that people get upset about. He is one of the last Mohegans that is absolutely just murdering people and the things that they do and the things that we do. And just, it's masterful. It is masterful. He's one of the last guys that's still doing that. I mean, there's, again, Carlin and Hicks. Stanhope is right there with them when it comes to calling out hypocrisy and just smearing it all over the crowd's face and then making them laugh about it. That is a level of mastery that I am a monstrous fan of and has a huge influence on the type of comedy that I like doing. I love that. I love pushing people over the line, dragging them with me, making them laugh about it. Because in my fucked up head, I just corrupted you to a certain level of my thinking. Because I said that joke to you thinking that it was funny to me, and you laughed at it. And it's a murderously fucking whatever joke. It's offensive, it's touchy subject, whatever. Crazy subject matter. And I corrupted you enough to laugh at it with everybody else in here along with me. The sick bastard who came up with it. And when you watch these guys, they have a confidence that is unmatched. They're just able to brutalize a crowd, brutalize them, just beat them over the head. And that is, again, it's a level of, it's a different type of mastery, you know? And the cool thing about artistry and all different kinds of art and things where you're forced to have a style, right? You're forced to have a style. That stuff is awesome to me because you literally build it yourself. The people that have the coolest art, the people that do the coolest shit and are the best at things that force you to have a style, they are the whatever they created is a representation of who they are as a person. I've spoken about this before, spoken about it countless times. It's when you have a person that is able to express themselves completely how they are through whatever medium it is, a sport, a, you know, an art, what else? I don't fucking know, a trade, right? Which is an art in and of itself. Anything that requires you to have a style, some kind of style. Imagine living your whole life and never finding your style, right? What if, I'm sure there's people that go their whole lives and never know what they want, never know what they really like. They never have an affinity towards things. You know, everybody had, like me, I cool cars are nice. Like they're cool. I totally would like a cool car one day, but there's other things that I know that I like, right? And I shouldn't even say that. Let's say we chose a topic of car. I know that there are certain things that I think are cool, and that would be my style. That car's dope. Same thing with clothing. Same thing with, you know, it's getting a little materialistic, of course, but even no style is a style. Bruce Lee proved that motherfucker. He said, damn, all this life work, and I have proved my point that no style is even a style. And it's impossible to not have some sort of a style in this life, to not have a way by which you are defined. You know, every outlet, just the way you live your life, should be how you are as a person. It should be conducive to whatever the fuck you can do. And hopefully you can live in this monetary land and do that as well. Live a life that is conducive to who you are as a person. We as humans, we are nomads from the beginning of time. We had to fucking explore. We had to walk. And I'm not this ancestral, you know, liver king. You have to feel the grass in your feet and you have to walk barefoot in the rain. And that's cool. That's awesome. I like walking in the rain. It's nice. I understand. But I don't necessarily think it has any certain whatever. But there are things that are genetically part of being human. And one of them is exploration and movement. Moving to where things are more favorable. Now, over time, we've been able to develop preferences. Where back in those days, there were preferences, but not as many choices. So they had no choice but to survive. Now, most people are put in a position where they can at least survive. Even if it's terrible, terrible conditions, a lot of society are put in a place where they can live, at least live. Where back in those days, it was like you either live or you fucking die. Now you're born, there's systems in place, there's, you know, unless you're born to a fucking absolute desolate land, to a fucking homeless family that is, and they've had kids who've died, and all these fucking, like, if you live in a place where kids are drinking water that you could also mistake for black coffee, then okay, I understand, maybe. But even then, right? Even then, there's people who live and grow up in these places. So living has become a back door, like a back room type thing, back of the mind type thing. Most people are able to live. Now, how comfortably can you live? How comfortably can you live physically? Now, we're going to get even more minutia here. How physically comfortable are you in your living space? Are you warm? Are you able to sleep soundly at night? Do you have food? And then it gets more to a scale, right? You start to scale shit off on that, and how comfortable you physically can get. And then now, how comfortable can you get mentally? Now that is an undermining one. People forget about that shit. People forget about it because they get wrapped up in that second tier of how comfortable physically can I get, you know? But in those things is when you find the leisures, right? You find leisures, and that's where you can develop a style, right? You develop what makes you you. The way you live your life is conducive to how you are. If you never, if you grew up a timid person who would never step into a martial arts gym or wouldn't even step into a gym at all, then there's no reason for you to. Unless one day you want to just, you know, change your life and whatever. That's different. That's a different thing. That's, you know, people can change. I know I said a few weeks ago, people don't change. A lot of them don't, but people can. But most importantly is how comfortable you can get with yourself. And the best way to do that is to live how it makes most sense for you. When I say makes most sense, am I a person that wants to live in a small room by myself? Probably not. And that's what I'm actually getting ready to go do. That's what I'm doing right now. But if I'm doing it for a reason, how about that? If you're doing it for a reason, and that reason could be as simple as to save money. You might have just got a real good job, and if you pay this much, per month, you'll be able to save an exorbitant amount. So, hey, I'll live scantily for 2 years if I can save this much money. You know, if in 2 years I have this much left, hey, it's worth it. So when you go and you set out for some shit and you're severely compromising your how comfortable you are, you know, I mean, I'm going to be fine, right? I'm going to be okay. I'm going to have heat and things are cheap and I'm going to have a, but there's levels of physical comfortability that are going to get diminished. And usually you can, when your mental comfort zone is shot, you can pile on that other shit. Come on, buy this food and gadgets and, you know, trips and all this stuff. Come on, pour it on. Yeah. You can drown that fucking mental bullshit. Man, no one wants to hear that shit. Get out of here. We're having fun. We're going to go out and spend money and yada yada. Okay, that's cool. You can pile that on. But that other shit's going to come back and get you. It's going to come back and get you. And the, you know, if you're in a place where you can't pile that on, you don't have a lot of money, now you need to work on the other shit. You can't forget that that's there. You know, because if you have a good mental, it doesn't matter where the fuck you are. A man with a why will withstand anyhow. I forgot who said that, but interesting quote. A man with a why will withstand anyhow. So by any means, if you're doing some shit, if your goal is in so many years, you want to have a house, you want to have a family, you want to be stable as a motherfucker, and you really want to start your life that way, that's why people work hours and hours. That's why people work crazy. I'm watching my buddy Evan. He works like a motherfucker. He works hard, you know, and he has a vision of what he wants. I mean, he's getting married. He's going to have a house soon, you know, probably even within this year. Who knows? But he's got a why. So he's willing to work like a motherfucker. That's why some people are willing to work like motherfuckers. They got kids. They got fucking responsibilities. It'd be nice if you can choose your why, right? It's rough if you get fucking thrown into the why. Oh, God. Jesus, I'm having a kid. Fuck, I'm not ready for this. And now you got to endure. And that's where resentment comes in for some people. And that's a scary fucking thing. But we're not talking about scary shit. We're talking about good shit, goddammit. Have a why. Sometimes I'm here to talk shit. Sometimes I'm here to, I guess it's still talking shit, but maybe helpful shit. Maybe stuff that will touch somebody. Touch somebody in the ass like a pedophile. But yeah, super excited for comedy. Comedy is my number one, man. I love it. I really do. When you find something that you're willing to endure the hardships for, that's the motherfucker. That's the shit right there, guys. And I don't know. I mean, I'm excited. I'm excited for what's coming next. And I think I'm going to wrap this motherfucker up today. It's a quick episode. It is. You guys see, I am... I'm doing a bunch of shit. I'm trying to get shit all situated. And I apologize this month for I don't want to say the lack of guests. I had some great guests. I had some phenomenal, fun episodes. But part of the show is getting different kinds of people. And that's what we're trying to do. We're going to try and do that. And I apologize for not making good on that. But you guys know it's a busy fucking month. I don't got to apologize to nobody. What's wrong with me? Jesus Christ. I'm working like a dog over here. Anyway, guys, I'm cutting this episode a tad short. It's probably good, right? You motherfuckers are busy on a Monday. Thank you all so much for listening. Follow the show wherever you listen. Follow the social media links, all in the description. You guys know the deal. Talk to you guys hopefully this Thursday. And I want to thank you guys for riding this bitch out. And I'm going to miss this room. I am. I'm just looking around. And I am going to miss this room. But on to bigger and better things, motherfuckers. Always. Peace.